Happy New Year. Welcome to 2023. Good to be here. Anyone glad to be in 2023? Anyone still living in 2022? Don't live there. Don't live there. We've moved on. We're in a new year. We're in a new day. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy every day. Live the moments of what God has given you for 2023. It's always good to have a new year. I mean, you know, in essence, nothing really changes. It just clicks over in the calendar. But it's a new opportunity. For us all as individuals, as family, as a family church. It's a new opportunity for us. And we want to grasp that opportunity and lay a hold of everything that God has given to us for 2023. You know, we have been planning, obviously, as a team. We've had a little bit of a break, and you know, we've been online on Christmas Day and then also on the 1st of January. But we've been planning what we're doing throughout this year. It's always good to plan. Who's a planner? What do the rest of you do? Come on. Some just wing it. Some just go with the flow. Okay, sirrah, sirrah. Whatever will be, and you know, you've kind of seen it all before, attitude, and you just go with the flow of life. Can I encourage you to be a planner? Be a planner, have plans, have dreams, have hopes, have desire to move life forward and to get into a greater space in life, in every area, every arena of your life. It's good to be a planner, and with what we do a lot of planning. A lot of strategizing with what we do, and we planned out in December all of our sermon series themes for 2023. All of the titles, all the scriptures we're going to speak from, and what a mammoth task it is to kind of sit down and project forward that far as a preacher. Most preachers don't think until Friday what they're doing Sunday in terms of things, and you know, work a sermon and write it on a Saturday and preach it on a Sunday. We've worked out for 12 months where we're going, what we're going to do, and part of the reasoning for that is we want to be really practical about helping people move their faith forward. Really intentional about that. It can't happen accidentally. It's like for you, for your personal faith and your personal growth and your journey with Jesus, it's going to take some effort, some planning. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some reading of your Bible every day. It's going to take some connecting and building community with people and serving and giving, all these things that we do as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be very, very intentional about that. So to start the first series for the year, our theme and title is called Scripting and Steering. Scripting and Steering. And we're talking about scripting our life, our narrative, our story, building our own frame that we want to live in and be known by, and then steering our life, giving it a sense of direction so that we have a sense of, I guess, control in relationship with God in the way that we do our journey. It means that I take responsibility. Everyone say, I am responsible. I am responsible. Do you know nobody else is responsible for your faith but you? Nobody. Nobody else is more responsible for our faith than us. We are personally responsible for who we are, for how we are, for what we become. And so therefore it takes a sense of needing to script out a plan for how we're going to live our life, and also a sense of destination, a sense of steering for our life. And so I want to start with this verse today from Psalm 45 verse 1. We're going to be really practical today. Who likes practical? We're going to be really practical as we steer our way through this series of sermons. The psalmist says, my heart is stirred. My heart is stirred by a noble theme. I love those words. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. If you read that particular psalm, what you read is a beautiful poem that's known as a love story, a love poem, in a sense, that the psalmist wrote in honor of the king. This is how much they loved the king and honored the king. And he says, I'm stirred. My heart is stirred when I think about my king and who he is to me. And so he writes this beautiful poem. Take the time to read it, maybe later today, Psalm 45. But right at the start, he says, my heart stirred. It stirred with a noble theme as I recite these verses for my king. And he says, my tongue is like the pen of a skillful writer. You know, the Bible has, in terms of the way the Bible is being presented to us and handed down to us, preserved and given to us, it was written by scribes. It was translated by scribes, people that were very careful to give due attention to detail, to language, to grammar, to culture, to practice of the day, so that we would have an understanding as best we could of what the Bible's intent was, what God's word meant for every one of us. And so scribes were ones that scribed. They wrote it out very, very skillfully. And so for a scribe, scripting was their function. We also know scripting in terms of, if you're a computer nerd, if there's any computer nerds in the room, you know what scripting is in terms of tech language and what that means. It's a computer programming term so that the program does what the script says to do. So this thought of scripting, we're used to it. It's used in drama. Like if you've ever been in acting and had the opportunity to do that kind of drama, there's a script they give you. There's a script that you learn. You just don't get up and do whatever you want to do. It's like preaching. When you preach, when you give a public speech or you're asked to speak to an audience for any great length on any topic of note, you normally have a script that you're going to read from. I've got one today. And it's a script that I've prepared. It's a script I've been very intentional about. So we're familiar with this whole thought of scripting. And here the psalmist says, my tongue is, my tongue, it's like a skillful writer as I prepare these thoughts for my king. What the psalmist is doing is he's trying to express here the importance of words, the value of words, the weight of words. It's a little bit like in the book of James, where James says this. He says, we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. Who relates to that? Anyone relate to that today? Don't look at anybody. Don't look at anyone, please. But he says, we get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. James is setting this up to tell us this is a problem we all have. This is a problem common to humanity for all men. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, and this is what some people think. They don't value words, they don't put due weight on words. He says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything. The potential on words, he says, is powerful. It can do almost anything, the words of your mouth, or it can destroy. It can build or it can destroy. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. Anyone ever set off a fire? Not a real fire, a word fire. Come on. Anyone with their tongue ever set off a little spark and all of a sudden it's a raging fire around your world, around your relationships, around your connections, around your sense of community, around your family? It happens. And here James is saying it happens oh so easily. He says, by our speech we can ruin the world. We can turn harmony to chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. James kind of gives the same weight and value to words that the writer did, the psalmist, and he's telling us that words are powerful, words are important, and we need to give heed to our words. He says, take a powerful beast like a horse. It's controlled by that tiny little bit that's put in its mouth in the reins, so that when the reins are pulled back, it's steered by that. It's controlled by that. It's directed by that. Or a big ship. A big ship is controlled by a little tiny rudder. That little rudder that's at the back of the ship that you don't notice when you're out on your cruise, when you're sailing the seven seas, and you're out there on this big ship. It's controlled by a tiny little rudder. And then what James does is he likens that bit in the horse's mouth and that rudder on the ship, and he says, that's like your tongue. That's like your tongue. That's like your words. And he's reflecting that our tongue has the ability to control us, to direct us, to build for us. It's like a steering wheel. It will set the course for our lives. And just like the psalmist, where the psalmist says, my tongue is like that of a skilled writer as I pen my thoughts, my reflections for the king, so our tongue controls us and it controls our world. Words script our life atmosphere and our life direction. It's words script for us our life atmosphere and our life direction. Words have power. They have power to heal. You can heal with your words. You can give life with your words. Someone can have a conversation with you, and with their words, when they skillfully use their words, they can bring healing to your soul. They can bring healing to your hurt, or they can bring pain. They can bring pain. They can bring hurt. It has the power to heal, the power to hurt. It has the power to soothe. It has the power to upset. It has the power to love, the power to hate, the power to help, the power to hinder. The tongue has the power to create harmony, the power to create chaos, the power to build a reputation, the power to destroy a reputation, the power to add life and bring solutions, or the power to instill pain and to deposit fear. Here's a few verses of what the Bible says about our words as we set ourselves up for 2023 with who we want to be. He says, gentle words. Everyone say gentle words. Gentle words cause life. Gentle words cause life and health. Griping brings discouragement. Griping, complaining brings discouragement. Proverbs 18:21 says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. Your choice. Everyone say your choice. Your choice. Your choice. Either fruit or poison. We can have poison in our mouth and from our mouth, or we can have fruit in our mouth or fruit from our mouth. Either way, we will have fruit. The fruit will either be poison or the fruit will be sweet. Proverbs 16:24 says, gracious words. I love the sound of that word, gracious. Coming from the word grace. It hits the heart, and it has a sense of soothing about it. Grace, God's grace, gracious words. Gracious words are words that land on the heart of a person and in a person's circumstance and situation, that add life, that bring forgiveness, that bring healing, that bring hope, that bring belief, that bring identity, that bring release, that bring freedom. He says gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. You know, I think many people really do undervalue and underestimate the power of the words that they use. The power of words that they use and the impact that they have on life and also on relationships. Like, I've met a lot of people in my time who say this. They say, well, I just speak what's on my mind. Yeah, well, that's your problem. I just speak what's on my mind. I just say it as it is. And particularly Australians, I mean, we're known for that. We're known for that kind of brutality. And look, there might be appropriate moments to do that, but I think it's inappropriate to be doing that all the time. It's totally inappropriate to speak whatever's on your mind. It's inappropriate to say it like it is and hurt and wound and destroy and pull down other people. We need to be very careful speaking without regard. Speaking without regard. When we speak to one another, we should have regard for one another. Regard for people's circumstances. Regard for people's situations. Regard for what they're going through. Regard for what they're carrying. We need to really put ourselves in the position of the other person and ask ourselves, how would I like to be spoken to in this moment? How would I like someone to speak to me in this moment? It's like the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery and was dragged before Jesus for judgment. And judgment had already been pronounced. They already knew what they were going to do. When they came and brought her to Jesus, Jesus spoke words of grace. He spoke words of grace to her. Imagine that woman and what she felt and what she was feeling about what was going to take place in that moment and what she was going to receive from Jesus. She knew what she was receiving from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, but now she was at the feet of Jesus, God himself, the Word in the flesh. What would she experience? Gracious words, kind words, healthy words, words that would be like honey to her soul. You know, speaking what's on your mind or sharing your opinion in an unfiltered way is not helpful. In an unfiltered way is not helpful. By filtered, what I mean is that we take time to consider our words, to consider our words and to communicate carefully. To communicate carefully. Many people speak and use words or negative emotions carelessly, expressing their feelings carelessly to people, and whenever we do that, it just blows up. Have you ever had words blow up with you, with somebody, with a friend, with a partner, with somebody you work with? Have you ever had your words just go bang? Nobody. I'm preaching to the saints today. Hallelujah. It does. It blows up for us all from time to time. It's like fuel and fire coming together and it just goes bang. Not caring what you say, that's exactly what it will do. It will set a raging fire like James talks about and it will create drama and strife around our world and around our lives. Some people don't realize the power of words. James does, and he says, a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything, or it can destroy it. You know, church, the sooner that we understand the weight, the value, the creative power of words, the sooner we can script a better future for our lives. The sooner we can script and create a better future, better homes, better connections, better relationships. When we learn to speak properly and speak appropriately to the people in our world. Words are not just sounds. They're not just sounds. They're not just for communication. They are for creating. They're for creating life, the life, the atmosphere, the environments that we want. Words are intended to be life-giving, even prophetic. Words are prophetic sometimes, where we speak with a sense of declaring what the future of a situation or a circumstance or our life might be. What words do is they create the script that sets the course for our future story. Scripting. Our tongue writes the script for our future. Our tongue writes a script for our future. I only need to spend 5 or 10 or 15 minutes with you and hear you talk and how you talk and what you talk about to know where you're headed, to know, Lord, sort of the plan, the script that you are, the narrative that you are operating from for your life, for your world. Our tongue is a dead giveaway. It's a dead giveaway. When you get close to people and the closer you get, and they open up their heart, they open up their tongue and speak their scripting. It's important to understand that it's our tongue that writes a script for our future. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to use our words to build what you do want, not what you don't want. Build what you do want with your tongue, not what you don't want. You know, a lot of people complain, and we read a scripture about that, about griping. Griping brings discouragement. I don't know whether you've ever had someone in your world that's been a griper, but gripers complain. You ever known a griper? You ever known a complainer? Someone filled with that negative spirit? Doesn't matter where they go, what they do, what they have, what happens, there's a gripe. There's a complaint. There's this negativity around them. Now, the truth is, we all gripe. I gripe. You gripe. We all complain. I complain. You complain. You're probably complaining right now. Griping right now. It's what we do. We all do it a little bit. But don't make complaint. Don't make griping your habit. Don't make it your pattern. Don't make it your normal. Don't make it your default. Don't make it your go-to. Make praise. Make griping and praise are at different extremes. Different extremes. They're so far apart, it's not funny. And I think that's why the Bible has so much to say about filling our mouth with praise, rather than filling our mouth with gripe and filling our mouth with complaint or with criticism. You know, the first griper in the Bible, the first complainer was Adam, the first man. It didn't go well. It didn't start well. The very first man, Adam, was the first complainer and the first griper. He blamed his wife, Eve. He started the pattern. It's all Adam's fault. He taught every man what to do. Her fault. And he complained about the woman that God had given him. He griped about it. What did Eve do? She complained about her man. She complained and she griped about Adam. She became the second complainer. She complained about the serpent. She complained about the devil. The devil made me do it. He's the one that led me to this fruit that God had told us not to eat. God's people in the Exodus, when they came out of all those years in Egypt, they complained about their pastor Moses and his leadership. They said, we don't want him anymore. We're going to sack him. We're sick and tired of walking around this wilderness, going nowhere, nothing happening. We're sick of what we eat. We're sick of what we drink. We need a new leader. Pastor Moses complained about the people. The complaint hurt all of them. It hurt Moses. It hurt the people and kept them out of the promises of God. Here's my point. Complaining never takes you to a good place. Complaint and griping never gets your relationships and your connections into a good place of community. Nothing gets better by complaining in a negative way. In a negative way. There is a way to complain when you go to a restaurant and they don't serve you well, and it's nicely. And it's anyone ever received bad service at a restaurant? Anyone ever complained about that? Anyone ever been in a restaurant and seen someone complain and thought, oh man, that's embarrassing. I mean, they're just yelling, right? They're just yelling. I wasn't with you, was I? No, they're just yelling. They're just making a show. They're just making a fool of themselves. Right? When you complain in a restaurant, the nice way to do it is not to blame the staff person who's getting paid a peanut to serve you and, you know, trying to pay their mortgage and working like a slave. Don't get upset with them. Don't yell at anybody. Don't get agitated with them. Just take your complaint where your complaint can be sorted and ask to speak. Can I speak to the manager? Can I speak to the manager, please? And when you speak to the manager, you don't do it in front of everybody. You take him or her aside, and you simply share what happened, and you give them an opportunity to make it right. That's what I do. And I ask them, how will we make this right? What would you do? And they stand there and they don't know what to say. And so I normally say it for them. This is what I would do. I would do this, this, and this. But you're the manager. There is a way to complain appropriately when it's appropriate to complain. But don't ever be known for being a griper or for being a complainer, because the truth is it'll have a negative effect on your present state, but not only your present state, your future state. And you can't afford to waste your time of your present state or your future state with the negative things that happen in life, because they're always going to happen. There's always someone going to let you down. There's always circumstances and situations that are out of your control that you don't like. You will not, may not ever have a perfect world or perfect people around you. The Bible said it. James said it. If you can find someone that's perfect at their speech, you found the perfect person. I haven't found that person yet. Are you here today? Maybe you're online today. Maybe they're online, that perfect person. We're all imperfect people. We live with these problems that we have to deal with. If you have a complaint, use your complaint to make something better. Use your complaint to make something better. The number of times I've had people come up to me in church life and say, the church should do this. And I just look at them and think, we are the church. Let's do it. You and me. Let's do it. Help us do it. Help us do it. Don't just help identify the problem. Help bring a solution. Help be the solution. Be the solution wherever a solution is required. So use complaint to be positive and constructing. I mean, just imagine if you have a problem with complaining and griping, just imagine if you took complaint out of your conversation, complaint out of your vocab. Just imagine if you stopped complaining about your job for a moment. Just imagine that. Imagine how much better you'd feel about your job if you stopped complaining about it. Imagine how much better you'd feel about your boss if you stopped complaining about your boss. Imagine how better you'd feel about your employees if you stopped complaining about your employees. Imagine how much better you'd feel about your partner if you stopped complaining about your partner. Imagine not complaining about what you don't have, about what's not good enough, about what's not right. Because we've all got stuff that's not right, that's not good enough. They're called circumstances. We've all got issues that we have to deal with. We've all got imperfect people around our world. But by promoting the negative and the complaint or the gripe, it doesn't really help us. What we need to do is take ownership of the season, take ownership of the circumstance, hold the tension of things being imperfect, of people being imperfect, of you and I being imperfect, of the church being imperfect, of our world being imperfect, and live for a future that we want to build in the way we speak. In the way we speak of life, in the way we speak of God. Imagine the difference if we took the gripe and the complaint out of all these things. Imagine the difference in the atmosphere in our homes, in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our work, in our church, if praise was in our mouth more than criticism or complaint. Psalm 19 says this: let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. There's a connection between our tongue, our mouth, our words, and what goes on in our heart, meaning that thought center, that control mind center of our soul. And here he says, the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. Scripting flows from the theme of our hearts, from the theme of our hearts. Jesus also said this. He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We started with the psalmist saying that I'm full with a noble theme. I have a noble theme in my heart. And so out of that noble theme in his heart, he says, I speak and I write to my king. And he wrote this love song that flowed out of what he thought in his heart about the king. What you think in your heart is what's going to come out of your mouth. What you feel in your heart, the theme of your heart, is what you're going to talk about. As you approach this and are in this new year, and as we look at 2023 in the future, and we forget the things of the past, as we embrace all the opportunity that this day and this new year has given us, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? What's stirring in your heart? What's the theme of your heart? The hope of your heart? The dream of your heart? The plans, the goals, the resolutions that you want to see played out in this new year? What is it that's overflowing in you? Is there more negative than positive? Is it destructive or creative? Is it neutral or engaged? These are all choices. Like we read before, the verse that said in James, it's either poison or fruit that comes from our mouth. In other words, it's either going to add life or death to us and our connections. Are we filled with more complaint than complimenting, or are we stingy or generous? How are we going to be known? We are the script writer for our future story. We are the script writer for our future story. You know, the hardest thing I do in terms of what I do during my week is to prepare the script for what I feel God wants me to share on a Sunday. The writing of the script is the hard work. The delivery of it is the easy part. It's the writing of it. It's the creativity of it. It's the structure of it. It's the soundness of it scripturally. It's the application of it for us that is hard for me. That's where my hard yards are done. Creating the script, setting the plan. It's like a diet. Every year I start the year thinking, gonna lose weight this year. Any friends out there? Come on. And I look at everything out there, everything, every option, every diet plan, everything where I can lose 40 kilos in 30 days. And, you know, feel, look great, be healthy. And I start reading these things and it's like I read the keto plan and intermittent fasting plan the other day, where you fast for 16 plus hours a day. Ultimate plan, fast for, I think it was almost 20 hours a day, counting the night, and you eat for four. And I thought, how much food can I eat in 4 hours? That's my first thought. What am I allowed to eat? And then I start looking at the eating plans, and they're so complicated. Well, they give you pictures of it, they break down the menu, the what to eat, the what not to eat. Now, I just don't have time for that. Like, I don't have time to make that plan and to get that organized. So it's just too difficult. My head just hurts thinking about that. It's always the script that is the problem. See, the dream's not the problem. I know the dream. I know what I want to be. I see it in the mirror when I look at me. See, I don't see what you see. I see the real me. I see what's on the inside. I see what I want to be. You see the same thing. Don't laugh at me. You see the same thing when you look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself 20 years younger. Come on. You see yourself 30 kilos lighter. You see the wrinkles gone. You see the hair back. You see the six pack. You see you wearing clothes you want to wear rather than clothes you need to wear. Anyone hearing me today? The dream's not the problem. I can see the dream. I need the script. I need the script because the script keeps me on track. The writing of the script is the problem. But the real problem is this. The real problem is me. Everyone say me. Me. I am the problem. No, hang on, that's wrong. You are the problem. Say, I am the problem. You're getting a bit excited about that. We are our own script writer for our future story. So script in a way that makes the future brighter, better, and bigger. Write the script out. Just don't have this dream. Have a script, have a plan, be determined. Script to be more positive about life. Script to be an encourager. Write a script and a narrative to be a builder of other people. What are you going to leave in other people? Be a builder of good things. Plan to do some good things in 2023. Plan to go beyond what you've ever done before in terms of reaching people, helping people, reaching people for faith and for Christ, and bringing them into the family of God and into the culture of the kingdom of God. Scripture, live a large and generous life. Scripture, live as large and generously as you can for the people around your world. Script with the end in mind. With the end in mind. In other words, the dream. What's the dream? What's the hope? What's the end point for you? Script for the future you want to live. This is what the psalmist said. My heart is stirred with a noble theme. What is your heart stirred by today for 2023? What's stirring in your heart? What's stirring in your heart? What's stirring in your heart for your faith journey this year? Write a script for it. For my faith journey, I'm going to make room for God this year in these areas of my life. I'm going to try this. I've never tried it before. I'm going to do devotions. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to a connect group and connect with people. I'm going to be very intentional about that. I'm going to start building relationship. I'm going to ask people, as Pastor Marichal said before, to come and have dinner with me, to come and have lunch with me, to come and have fish and chips with me, to come and have bread and butter and tea with me, whatever it is. I like prawns. To come and have prawns with me. Good prawns, big prawns, expensive prawns. Remember, be large and generous. That's live that way. Script it out. Script it out. How are you going to do this? If you don't, you're just going to get que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. He who wants friends needs to show himself friendly. Needs to show himself friendly. Script, what's stirring in your heart for your script for your church this year, in how you're going to make it better? This is your church, our church. It's not my church, it's his church, our church. Let's make it better. Let's write a script for that, for our serving, for our giving, for our connection, for our community. Is what's in your heart noble? Is it of good report? Don't be a James Bond believer. Shaken, but not stirred. Be stirred. Have some stirrings in your heart for this new year. And in terms of that, let me give you a warning. Be careful what stirs in your heart. Be careful what directs your tongue. Be careful what spills from your tongue, because what spills from your tongue creates your story, creates your story. So my last thought is scripting. We need to guard our script. Guard our script. There are other people that want to control your script, that want to control your narrative, that want to convince you or evangelize you, to use a Christian term. Evangelize you. I have people trying to evangelize me all the time. To evangelize me to get involved in what they're doing, in their business venture, in their investment, or their hobby, or whatever it might be. Everybody's evangelizing everybody. That's how I look at the world. Everybody is an evangelist. Everybody is a witness under something. This is what it did for me. And they get other people involved in that journey. The Bible warns us very carefully. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Why? Because out of your heart and your mouth come the script of life. Guard your heart, for it determines, listen to this, the course of your life. The course of your life is determined by this. So what's stirring in your heart? What's stirring in your heart for your plan, for your future story? Guard your heart. What do you need to guard your heart from? You need to guard your heart from distraction. Yeah. Distraction. Guard your heart from distraction. So many things distract us. People get distracted by the next shiny thing that comes along. We've got to be careful in terms of guarding our heart from distraction. Guard our hearts from offense. From offense. It's so easy. I never cease to be surprised how quickly a human heart can get offended. And so we guard our heart against offense, against negative feelings, against the feelings of nobody loves me, nobody notices me, nobody wants me, struggling with connection, struggling with community. If you're struggling with that, talk to somebody about that. Reach out to somebody about that. Let them know your struggle. And if someone comes to you to talk about that, help them in that struggle to get to a better place in terms of their connection, their community, and their feelings. Got to protect your heart from bitterness, disappointment. Our heart is of great value because that's where the theme of life is seeded, in our hearts. Do you have a noble theme? Why don't you stand to your feet with me right across the hall today? What's your heart filled with? Come on. Is it filled with a noble theme? James said we get it so wrong. Nearly every time we open our mouths, if you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd find that perfect person in perfect control of life. You know, the truth is, there's no perfect people in the room today. There's no perfect people online today. We all have our imperfectiveness. We all have that. We all have our issues. We all have our bad days, our silly seasons, our stupid moments. We all say things we wish we could take back, but you can't. I love how the psalmist, he says this, and he was a man with his own issues, his own imperfectiveness, many bad days, and yet he says, my heart is stirred with a noble theme for my King, for my King. What's your theme? What's your stirring? Close your eyes right now. What's your stirring? What stirs within you? This word noble, noble simply means something very good, something very excellent, something that is worthy of praise. And my heart is stirred with this good thing, with these excellent things. It's like Paul says in Philippians 4:8, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, same word, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Include them in your script. Include them in your story. Include them in your narrative. With your script and your scripting, make sure you script for the future, not for the now. Don't be overcome with your present, your circumstance, your situation, with your issue. I was reading my Bible yesterday morning, and I read in Genesis where God came and spoke to Abraham and to Sarah. And God spoke to their future. He spoke a script. He spoke a narrative to them that was beyond their present. You see, the present is always our problem. The present is our problem. The present is our circumstance. And their present was not good. Their present was the fact that they were old and worn out and barren, and there was going to be no children. And yet God came along, and God spoke a new script. And God said, the angel of the Lord said, in 12 months' time, I'm going to return, and Sarah will hold a baby. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. It's what we do. Sometimes we laugh when God sort of drops the promise in our heart and think, it's never going to happen. That's not going to happen for me. I'm too old. I'm too old. Sarah said, not only am I old, and not only is my husband old, she said, I'm worn out. Here's a word for some people in the room today. You may think you're old. You may think you're worn out. Worn out with life, worn out with problems, worn out with circumstances, worn out with family, worn out with relationships, worn out just journeying and trying to survive, just worn out living in a desert like Sarah. God's promise supersedes the present. His script speaks to our present to take us into the future of that promise. Sarah's complaint, Sarah's response, Sarah's laugh didn't stop the promise from coming true. It was just her humanness saying, you know what, I've really had enough. I've had enough of being teased. I've had enough of trying. I've had enough of bothering. I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm going to sit in the tent. I'm just going to be old and I'm going to be grumpy. And I'm going to be barren. But God had other plans. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has other plans. Come on, God's got a new script. God's got a different script. God is not reading from your story. He's not reading from your script. Look at everybody in the Bible God used. They had a story. They had a circumstance. They had a present. They had an excuse. But God comes with a promise. Whenever God comes with a promise, it supersedes all of that. God's promise empowers us out of our present and launches us into the future. Get stirred about the promise. Get stirred about the word of God. Get stirred about faith and building faith in God. Get stirred about overcoming the negativity of what's going on in your world and in the world, and live the word. From the moment that word was uttered, I can imagine Abraham going, I'm going to be a daddy. I'm going to be a daddy. Everyone else thought he was mad. Look at you, Abram. Look at you, man. You're old. You know, some people tell me that I'm old. Can you believe that? Like, seriously. I had someone the other day tell me that I was fat. Yeah. I looked at them. And I could feel a script coming on my tongue at that moment. I'm not living that script. You can call me that if you like. You can call me old. You can call me fat. You can call me worn out. But I am dangerous. Are you dangerous? Come on, are you dangerous? Seriously, you are. You are dangerous. Dangerous. I am stirred. Are you stirred?
Yeah.
I am not only shaken, I'm stirred. Just don't be shaken by God. A lot of people want to be shaken by God. Be stirred by the theme of the promise that He has for you. Come on. 2023. We're starting to walk it right now. I'm going to write the script and we're going to steer it. We're going to steer it. Learn to drive it. Learn to drive it this year. Why don't we just close? Would that be good? Why don't we close? Why don't we come and stand down the front? Why don't we do that? This is what I used to do when I was a youth pastor. I used to tell people, just come and stand down the front. I didn't ask them if they wanted to. I just come and stand down the front. Come and stand down the front for a moment. Coming down the front, if you can, is just symbolically, God, I'm going to shift some things in my script is what I'm going to do for this year. I just want to finish with this song. Just quickly, just lift your hands, close your eyes. I'll make room.
And I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to.
Come on, God.
To do whatever you want to.
God, shake me.
I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to.
Come on, Holy Spirit.
To do whatever you want to. I'll make room for you to do whatever you want to.
Stir my heart.
To do whatever you want. Better. Oh, your way is better. whatever you want. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. I will make room.
My prayer is that you'd help us to shake off some things. Shake off tiredness, shake off oldness, shake off worn outness, shake off excuse, shake off tradition, shake off religion, shake off a lot of these things and stir our hearts with a noble theme, with a noble theme. Filled with promise, filled with hope, filled with dream, filled with inspiration, filled with vitality, filled with health. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's issues. Yes, there's circumstances. Yes, there's a present that we have to walk through, but we are walking through it. We're walking through it, God, towards your promise and the fulfillment of everything you have for us. Bless our church. Lord, bless every family, every individual, every young person, every old person, every man, every woman, every child, every baby, everybody, every home, online, in person today. We make room for you in 2023, and we pray, help us to get to a greater place and a greater space in our faith journey personally, and also in our church, family, and community. Help us to have greater impacts in our city, and what we do here representing you is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church, let's give the Lord a hand. God, we love you, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to thank our church family online today that have been with us online. Goodbye to you. Have an amazing week. Thank you for joining us today. Hospitality's open. I think we got hot dogs today. Hot dogs today. And enjoy some time in hospitality in the cafe, connecting with people, making friends. Enjoy that. God bless you. Good to be with you today. Thank you.